Did you ever wish that your mom or dad or a coach or a teacher would get off your case? I'm looking for kids now, right now, and see what they're saying. That must have been, it had to have been, how Philip felt in today's gospel when Jesus was testing him. More about that a little bit later. First, a little background. Today's gospel reading comes from John's gospel. John's gospel is one that always portrays Jesus as being a divine person. As everything he does, he's in full control. He knows what's going on. Whereas the other three, called synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they always portray Jesus in a human way. They show him as being very human. They show the human side of Jesus. There's a thing called the Jesus Conference that used to go on in Chicago. I don't know if it still goes on or not, but I think it did last some years. And what they did at the Jesus Conference was study all about the things that Jesus said and did in the Bible. And they would try and search for the real meaning. And they would have debates about things. And one subject that they debated about it was, when did Jesus really know that he was divine? Did he know it when he was a baby in the crib in the manger? Or did he first know it when he was hanging on the cross at Calvary? Or did he find out or figure it out or whatever? Did it come to him somewhere in between there, between his birth and his death? We had a married couple, young couple in their 30s, who were strong Baptists, come into our church through RCIA, and I worked with the RCIA in Paintsville. And the man was a really sharp fellow. He was CEO of the local telephone co-op, and he was recruited to another one a couple of years after that. And when we talked about this very question that I was mentioning, when did Jesus know that he was divine? Well, this fella usually blurted out what was on his mind. And as soon as I said that, he said, "You'd think he'd got a clue when he walked on water." And sure enough, you would think he'd got a clue when he walked on water, I think. Or when he changed water into wine. Or when he did any of his other miracles. Back to the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus' question to Philip. Jesus raised his eyes and saw the large crowd was coming. He said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" But he said this to test Philip, because he knew what he was going to do. That doesn't appear in any of the gospel story in any of the other three gospels. There are only two stories that appear in all four Gospels. This one that we heard today about the feeding of the 5,000, and the resurrection story. And Jesus testing Philip is not in the other three Gospel accounts of this. So why would Jesus test Philip? Why would he ask that question of him? Well, I mentioned it earlier. Jesus was a teacher. Like a teacher or a mom or dad. It was because he wanted Philip to grow. Jesus taught his disciples primarily by example. What he did, they saw, and he taught them. He healed, he raised from the dead, he prayed. He worked many mighty signs, miracles, and they were there learning. Like a teacher, Jesus challenged Philip and the others at times. He wanted them to be better than they were. He wanted them to grow because he believed in them. He believed in them because he wanted them to go on and carry on the church. He knew he would be gone, and he wanted them to carry on the church. And so they have. It has flourished. That was a challenge. Philip eventually responded to that challenge. I have a story about a challenge. Leroy and D'Artagnan, two inner city Cleveland boys who were discovered, or the story was discovered, when an ESPN commentator, one who does stories, went looking for a story, went to an inner city Cleveland high school and found them. They were on the wrestling team. One of them was born blind with a disease that caused blindness. The other one, at a very young age, was hit by a freight train and lost his legs. They were on the wrestling team. I know a little about that. I was on a wrestling team in high school, and I wrestled a blind person one time. He turned me every which way but loose. But these boys wanted to make something of themselves. And even in the classroom in the high schools where only 40% graduated. And this Lisa Finn, that worked for ESPN, went to do a story about them. She got very involved with them. And this story became and is as much about Lisa Finn as it is about those two boys. Because they responded to the challenges they were faced with in life. But she saw and learned about them and came to know them and got to know who they were and all the things that they had to overcome at home and at school, and of course because of their disabilities. She became involved in their lives, and she came to a point where she had to make a decision. She had to make a choice. She was faced with a challenge. She knew they needed help. She knew they weren't going to get it anywhere else. She had to decide whether to help them and cross the line of being a reporter who just reports and doesn't become part of the story. That's sort of an unwritten rule, I think, in journalism. She had to decide because she knew she would become part of the story. And she made the decision to do it. She spent thousands of hours doing things that they needed help with to make it through life. She got one of them into college. He was the first one in his family to graduate from high school. She got the other one into Olympic training, Paralympic training. They both excelled. They both did well. And it was all because of things she had done. People had sent donations, but they needed help. They needed help. They didn't know how to get along in life. And she spent all that time doing it. Both those boys responded to the challenges they were faced with in life, and they grew. And that reporter did the same. She had an article entitled "Why I Stayed." She got to the point where she had reported the story. She had to either stay and help them or leave. She said she stayed because we get only one life, and we don't truly live it until we give it away. As we go through life day to day, how many times are we presented with opportunities to grow? If we're paying attention prayerfully, if we're open to God working in our lives, we will see those times that God is calling us to grow. Sometimes God taps us on the shoulder when we least expect it. Will we respond like Philip did initially and throw up our hands? He eventually changed his ways. Or will we respond like Leroy and D'Artagnan and like Lisa did, with love and a will to seek to grow The choice is ours.